listening to the Fresh Out the Northwest podcast.
This is DJ Peg. Let's go. 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 This is episode 69 of the Fresh Out the Northwest podcast, where we represent Northwest hip-hop culture. Today's guest is a staple in the Northwest hip-hop community. He is a true DJ, a dope producer, an engineer, and a nice MC, which he doesn't get enough credit for. He's one half of the rap duo Funkaholics with his partner in crime, Max Slug. He could play multiple instruments, and he is wicked on that talk box. So I'm going to get to know him like you guys are about to get to know him. So without further ado, let me introduce to you Rockfella, a.k.a. Rock Fizzle, a.k.a. Dr. Rocktopus. What's up with you, bro?
Man, you know, ain't nothing going on but music, life, beats, and the rent.
Say that then. Hey, did I got the nicknames right, right? I'm good on the nicknames?
Yeah, yeah, okay. you got most of them. You know, I got a few others that are in the chamber, but you know, they also call me the son of Lakeside, you know.
Okay. We're going to get to that later, though.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah. Man, before we get started, I got two stories. I'm going to do one now and then one later. But I got to tell you this story. So I'm doing a contour on Mondays. This is about, 2010. And so Savvy's like, he's like, hey, man, you know, Rockefeller's going to rock with you next week, next Monday. And I've never, you know, I've seen you DJ, but I've never DJed with you. And people don't realize, like, you're a turntablist. Like, you really know how to DJ. You do more than just bring songs in and out. You can scratch. You got blends. Transitions is nice. I practiced that whole week, bro, because I was going to DJ with you. Because I didn't want to get there and embarrass myself. But here goes the kicker to the story. So I get up there, and then I think I train wrecked, like, on the third song. I'm like, this guy going to think I'm horrible. You know what I mean? But yeah, man, I don't know why. I'm always nervous when I'm with my peers, with people that I respect. I always mess up. I don't know why. It's kind of like the movie Any Given Sunday. You know, he got to throw up and now he's good.
Yeah.
That's me. I got a train wreck and then I'm good. You know, I'm good for the rest of the night. So
that's what's up, man. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. I didn't know if you knew that story or not.
Nah, man. Hey, like I said, I just think everybody, you know, comes in. You know, when you're DJing with, you know, other cats that, you know, that you know that's ready to rock and roll, it's almost like a joust to me. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, let me hear what you're doing to make me better.
Right.
Because if you play some songs that I thought I was going to play, now I got to rethink.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not really a competition, but it's almost just like, okay, you did this. Now I got to restructure.
Right.
And it forces my brain to work a little harder, and it's a little funner because I'm like, all right, now I'm going to do this. He did this. Okay, the crowd already heard that. I'm not going to play that. Let me go here, and then we're not stepping over each other's line. You know, ain't stepping on each other's toes or not stepping over that line in the sand, but we're still working cohesively to get the job done. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I know exactly.
That's my mindset. Some people be thinking I'd be coming in battle mode trying to take people out. That's not what I do.
No, you don't come off like that to me. No, I mean, I will say that, you know, once you're locked in, you know, I mean, you go in. But, I mean, I just think it's not really competition. You're just trying to, you know, win the crowd over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
put on the show, man. That's all it is.
Yeah, definitely. Well, man, let's get to the first question. And this is a two-part question. What equipment did you use when you first started DJing, and what equipment did you use when you first started producing?
When I first started DJing, let me see. It's a kind of a long story, but I'll shorten it. So, back in the days, I think I was living in Pomona. My mom had bought me this turntable, right?
Right.
I don't know what brand it was, but it was like a little something you buy from like the toy store or whatever. But it had little speakers that connected to the back of it. It had RCA outs on it. So I took that joint. I put, I put a slip mat on there with the wax paper underneath. And I borrowed a realistic mixer from one of my partners that also was a DJ.
Okay.
I rigged it, and I learned how to scratch from watching Beat Street.
Wow.
So that was my first experience as a turn is just learning. So I was a scratch DJ first. I didn't even know how to mix.
Okay. I can see it though. I can see it because yeah, your cuts are clean. So I see it.
So that was that. And then when I moved out to Anaheim, there was these guys that used to come up to my school. There was three Mexican dudes, and I got to know one of them named Mario. Mario had a set of turntables. He would let me come to his house and practice on his turntables, but when I got better than him, he stopped letting me come over. So I didn't get my first real set of turntables until I moved to Washington State.
Okay. All right. And then what about the equipment you started using when you was producing?
So that also goes back to the same house in Pomona.
Okay.
My dad had just came back off a tour, and he came home with some equipment. He had a drum machine. He had a keyboard. He had, you know, some stuff. And like built a little home studio. So I learned on his stuff first.
Okay.
He had like an EMU Drumulator. He had a Roland S50. He had a JX3P. Just all analog stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I learned on that type of stuff.
Okay.
Like the drum machines, the keyboards. My Uncle Norman had a studio in his house. So I would go over there and learn on his equipment. So everybody, like all the stuff you would hear on the early records, like the DMX drum machines, the Prophet 5s, like all them keyboard sounds, all the guys in the band had equipment. So I would go over there and I would learn on their equipment.
Okay.
Then I came up here, and the first piece of equipment I got a hold of was an EPS 16 plus. And then from there I bought a Studio 440 when I was working at CAY. And then from there, man, I just started buying more equipment, bought myself an ASR10 and an MPC, you know, started going from there. And here I am with a whole bunch of shit at my studio.
Right, right. Hey, do you remember the first beat you made?
Technically, I don't.
Okay.
I don't remember what it was. It was probably something me and my dad did a long time ago.
Okay. It's all good.
You know, matter of fact, I had remember Mattel came out with the four pads called the Synsonic drums?
Yes, I do remember that.
Man, I had one of them joints too. And I made some cold Egyptian lover type beats on them joints. I'm serious.
Yeah, because you're talking about the 80s. I mean, that's what it was back then.
Yeah, I'm saying. It was that time. It was that era. And, you know, especially living in LA at the time, you know, Egyptian lover and all them guys was running the scene at the time. So,
yeah, I know. Because I was in LA in 86. So I stayed in L.A. for a summer in 86. And, yeah, a lot of people don't know, like, Egyptian Lover was, like, the guy, Uncle Jam's Army.
Come on.
Yeah, I can't think of nobody else. But those two guys was definitely, like, you know, like, if you was from
L.A. Eddie K-Day, man.
Yep, K-Day, all that shit.
K-Day was the joint.
Yep. All right, man.
Come on, man.
We're going to get to this next question. What inspired you to get into hip-hop music?
Well, you know, it's one of those things like with theory to where I kind of base it off of like, so, you know, like my dad was a funk musician, right?
Right.
So funk was like the bastard child to soul. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it was like the rebellious version of soul with an edge and real cut, you know, real up-tempo, real rebellious. So me being a descendant of that, hip hop was to me like funk was the soul.
Okay.
Because, you know, coming from the 70s, being a 74 baby, being born into the 80s, right, and when hip hop was really making that merge into the scene,
mm-hmm.
I grew with hip hop. Grew, you know, I, you know, not really out of funk, but with funk. And when hip hop made his big emerge into the scene in 79, 80, 81, I was still one of those kids that was like, what is that?
Yeah, I was with you.
It was new. Yeah. It was new to all of us. Anybody, you know, we probably just around the same age. So when hip hop hit, we were all amazed and all dazed, like, wow, what is this?
Yep. Trust me.
And
trust me.
I heard it. I saw it. I wanted to do it. And, you know, ever since then, I just took the two and merged the two.
Okay.
That's why you hear a lot of funk influences in my beats and everything, pretty much everything I do, because that's pretty much my lineage right there.
Which is funny, because that was my next question was, how do you describe your sound? I swear to God, that was my next question. So,
you know, funk. Yeah. You know, I also grew up listening to R&B and soul, of course. I got hip to, you know, jazz, you know, like jazz fusion, like the Crusaders, Bob James, Herbie Hancock, Spyro Gyra, Chick Corea, just all those groups that were coming out. They weren't really like big band jazzy stuff, but they were more groove oriented fusion type jazz.
Right.
And of course, my uncle was playing James Brown, because he had every James Brown record ever existing. So just all that stuff right there, boom, that's me. You know, my bass lines and drums are real hip-hop funky. My chord changes are very jazz and R&B soul influenced. So it's you know, it's definitely a big gumbo mixture, but hip-hop and funk is the foundation of my sound.
Okay. Now, you know, it's funny you talk about your sound, because I listen to your music and your music mm-hmm. sounds good, bro. And I know you're an engineer. So my next yes. question would be, did you go to school to become an engineer? Because when your songs are crispy, they're mixed well, you know, nothing's higher than the other. You know what I mean? It's all in the pocket. So, yeah. So did you go to school for that?
No, man.
Okay.
The only school I went to was going to the studio with my dad when he was going to the, going to sessions, sitting there just watching the engineer and, you know, asking him little questions here and there without being a pest and kind of just knowing what was what. And then here comes the changing of the times. You know, you go from reel to reel, you know, 2-inch tape, then you go to ADATs. And then once the ADAT stuff start coming around, I started hanging out with a guy named Mike Daniels.
I know Mike Daniels. Yeah.
Of course, man. That's like my big bro, man. You know, I used to go over to his house and, you know, kind of get under his wing. And he taught me a lot. And just Sam Stevens, rest in peace, mm-hmm. Paul Hubert, just all these guys we used to go to record. I'd be the cat right underneath their elbow watching what they was doing and asking questions.
Right.
Then here comes the digital age where everything is computerized. And then that's when I started actually just teaching myself. Once Pro Tools and Logic and Ableton and all this stuff start coming out, that's when I just said, okay, well, let me dig in. Let me dive in and get my mix game right. Because I used to have other people try to mix my songs, and they wouldn't mix them the way I wanted them to be mixed.
Right.
So I learned how to do it myself. So here we are.
Yeah, that's dope, bro, for real. I was going to ask this question later, but let's just get this question out the way now. I'm not sure if people know who your dad is. You know, your dad is famous. Can you let the listeners know who your dad is?
My dad's name is Marvin Craig. He's the bass player for the group Lakeside. So, you know, if you ever heard It's All the Way Live, Fantastic Voyage, Something About That Woman, you know, any of the Lakeside hits or records, you know, our parents have them, you know.
Right.
So, you know, that's my pops, man. And he, you know, he used to drag me around with him all the time and go places, and I would jam and watch people jam, and boom, there it is.
Yeah. Now, you still rock with your dad, though, right? I mean, you play in the band every once in a while, right?
Nah, I mean, I'm an official member now. I've been with the band for 6 years.
Oh, okay. Say that then, man. That's dope.
Yeah.
Now, how many instruments do you play? I know you play the drums. And I know you play mm-hmm. the keyboard. Do you play more instruments than that?
Yes. I fiddle around with the bass and the guitar here and there when I need to. I'm not a stage player. I'm a session player.
Okay.
You know, because there's a difference. Like, I can sit in my studio and figure out a bass line right. or learn a song, but my memory on a bass and guitar ain't as sharp as it is on a keyboard.
Okay.
So, you know, so I don't really play out with my bass and guitar. I play lines and licks, and I'll record them and edit it and do it all that, make it sound perfect. But, you know, for the stuff I can't play, you know, I know every top-notch musician in Seattle, Washington. So if I need something done, I can call whoever I need to call.
Yeah, and make it happen.
Yeah, and of course, you know, I play the talk box, and that's an instrument. So,
bro, listen, hold up, man, bro, I've seen you rock the talk box plenty of times, man. You're probably one of the best in Seattle. You know what I'm saying? The only other person I could think of is Kevin Gardner. Besides that, you two, man, yeah, yep. Man, you be killing it. You know what I mean?
Thank you, man. You know where that comes from, Peggy. You don't even have to ask that question. The late, great Roger Troutman, man, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And then that comes from the lineage because my dad and them is from Ohio, and so are they. So
Right, definitely. Yeah. Now, I want to circle back
on Ohio influence.
I'm going to circle back on something. I told my daughter about you. So my daughter that stays in Canada, she also plays the drums. She plays the bass. She plays the electric guitar. And she's also working on the piano. So I told my daughter about you. You know what I mean? So
say that.
Yeah, super talented. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, tell her to follow me on Instagram, man. I got clips and stuff of me playing. And I don't know if you caught my last little Facebook Live, but I was playing a lot of new, some beats and stuff that stuff I done did over the years. I make a lot of beats when I'm traveling.
Right.
Especially like on the plane. I make a lot of beats on the airplane.
I'm going to definitely tell her to follow you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. You know, I think she'll get a kick out of it, you know, because that's what it's about, man. It's about the music because, you know, like our generation of music is way different from the generation gap from 2010 and beyond.
Right. I agree.
The sonically, just verbally, everything is a complete, you know, cluster, if you know what I mean. I don't know, you know, how much, if your show is a family friendly or
cuss all you want.
Okay, well, it's a clusterfuck.
Right. Right?
But, you know, and right now I see a resurgence of real music coming back into the forefront to kind of even things out.
Right.
You know what I mean? I see a lot of the older producers, a lot of the legendary cats that we used to look up to, like Eric Sermon,
right.
Quick, Dre, Primo, Pete Rock. You know, everybody's like going independent and putting these projects out. Like, we got to push some real music back into the forefront again.
Yep. I mean, look
so
at this.
That way we're,
oh, go ahead.
Huh?
No, go ahead. What you about to say?
So that way we're not sitting up complaining about what they're doing. We're more like celebrating what we like and what we love and just leave them alone and let them do what they're going to do.
Bro, I've been saying that for years. I swear to God, man, I've been telling people, listen, let the young people do what young people do, right? But there's enough older producers, rappers, you know, we can create our own stuff and listen to what we like, you know what I mean? The one thing I don't do, though, I don't complain about their music. I mean, I always tell them, hey, that's just not my cup of tea. You know what I mean? It's also the reason why I don't DJ Young Clubs no more. I can't do it. I'm like, nope.
Well, I used to be that complainer. I used to be, but until I started seeing that more people were doing something about it, when there was nobody doing nothing about it and the industry was just forcing this down our throats, like this is what we're supposed to swallow.
Right.
I was one of those guys complaining about it. But now it's just like, okay, so the solution is almost here.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Where I don't have to pay attention to it.
Right. And think about it this way. Killer Mike just won a Grammy, swept it.
Swept.
You know what I mean? I mean, that says something. So
it says a lot.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right, bro.
Man, when To Pimp a Butterfly won a Grammy, that's when I was like, okay, there's still people with ears that love real music.
Right. You know what I mean?
You know?
Yeah, so. No, because, like, even me, like, the stuff I listen to, I don't think nobody else listens to. You know what I mean?
Like what?
Right now, I'm on a little brother kick, man. I don't know. I just been
love them guys.
Yeah, I've been on the minstrel show, like, heavy. So, who else I'm rocking, man? Dom Kennedy. I like Dom Kennedy.
Love, man. Yeah, that's my guy.
Yeah,
I've been on a Jay Dilla kick lately just because it's February. I've been listening to a lot of Slum Village. Like, all my playlist and title are all producers. Like, I got a Pete Rock playlist. I got a Primo playlist. I got a Battle Cat playlist. I got a Jay Dilla to where everybody has their unique sound. So if I just want to just dive deep,
right?
You know, I got a Prince playlist. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I got certain things that are just catered to just one sound or that one producer, and I just get into it. I get into a mode.
Right. I'm the same way, man. Like, I've been on Ninth Wonder too a lot lately. I kind of slept on him, man. I felt kind of bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Ninth Wonder's nice, man. So. You know what I'm saying? And I listen to everything from the east to the west to the south. You know what I mean? So, I was born in 1970, so you already know.
Yeah, you 4 years older than me?
Yeah, man.
Okay. I'm preaching to the choir then. I'm going to ask you a question. How you feel about that Scarface Tiny Desk?
That shit was dope. You know why it was dope? Because this is how I explain it. I felt like he fell into the music, right? Like, it was almost like it hit him in his soul. You know what I mean? And he just did his thing. Like, he just closed his eyes and went to another world. So, yeah, I thought that shit was dope. Man, I think he's underrated, man. I don't think he get enough exposure that he's a dope lyricist. You know what I mean?
But he's also a musician. A lot of that stuff that you know, he was performing.
Right.
He helped produce.
Oh, yeah.
So people don't look at him from that end because he's just now getting to the maturation of being able to show that part of him.
Right.
Before, he was with the Ghetto Boys and he had to put on that vest like, yeah, you know, I'm a gangster rapper, this. But when he started going more solo and his stuff started getting real deep and real soulful.
Oh, yeah.
I think he really just started letting that loose. Just like Pimp C. People don't know Pimp C plays the organ.
Yeah, I did
Pimp
know
C's
that.
Pimp C's a musician.
Yeah, I did know that. That's where they got that kind of Baptist sound in their music. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's Pimp playing all that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and another thing, too, about Scarface, he's humble. Mm-hmm. I met him before. He's ridiculously humble. You know what I mean?
That's good.
If you tell him he's dope, he's like, you know what I mean? That's crazy.
You know who else is like that I've met many a times and we've had some deep conversations?
Who's that?
DJ Quick and Battle Cat.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, and they can be cocky, but they're just not.
Well, see, the way that I come at them versus just some regular old fanboy or girl is different.
Right.
Because me being one of them and being the type of nerd that they are about music and about gear, once we really start getting into depth and start talking about stuff, and they look at me like, oh, you know about this? Let's talk.
Right.
So, you know, talking about the new drum machines and the new keyboards that just came out, or plugins and different sounds, you know, and different things that not the average bear know about.
Right.
That's how you start winning these guys over. And, you know, we have deep intellectual technology conversations whenever we're all in the same room. It's crazy,
man.
Shout out to them, man.
I like to be a fly on the wall for that one, for real.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Quick has taught me. Quick and Battle Cat have actually both given me a lot of a lot of tutelage and a lot of pointers about my talk box plan. Oh yeah. Well, most definitely. You know, they're on the team, man. They're cool cats.
Yeah, I can see it too. All right, bro.
Yep. We're
going to get to this next question. How did you and Max Slug come together as the Funkaholics?
Well, because he came out of the group he had with his brother called Hustlers for Life. That was him and Tone, right?
Right.
So he was going solo. He came to me to produce his first album. That's where the chemistry came, right?
Right.
So on his second or third album, we did a song called We So Funkified, right?
Yeah, I mean, and the video.
Then in the third album, we did another song called We're Still Funkified. So we were about to do a third trilogy to that, and we was like, hold up. Like, we keep doing all these songs about funk. We are sitting in the car, you know, we're sitting in the studio having these conversations and all that. And I'm like, man, we're getting this buzz off of these songs that we're performing together. People thought we were a group.
Right.
I had a whole vault, a whole folder on my hard drive full of a bunch of funky ass beats that I was going to do for my own solo project. I called him one day. I was like, you know what? I got all these beats. I said, you know what? Come jump on this project with me. Let's just do me and you do a group project. It just came into fruition, and there it was.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yep. Because, like, I listen to you guys' music, man, and I ain't going to lie, man. I like it a lot, man. And like you said, it's funky. I think it's for older people. I don't know if young people listen to it. I like it. Shit, you know what I mean? So, yeah, man.
It's for whoever likes it, but we catered it to the older generation that was that felt like they were missing something. Like nobody was making music for us.
Right.
And so it was like, hey, well, let's make music for us. And then when we sat down and start writing, I was like, hey, Slug, don't put no cursing in it.
Oh. I didn't even know. Wow.
Anybody can listen to it. Like your grandma, your niece, your nephew, your aunties, your uncles, anybody that can listen to it and you can play it anywhere.
Wow. I didn't even know there was no cussing in it, bro. That's crazy.
No.
Right.
I mean, we may say word, we might say damn or ad, but that's not really a certified curse word.
Right.
We don't say no F words. We don't say no B words. We don't say fuck, shit, pussy, dick, ass. We don't say nothing. Well, we say ass, but that's you know, that can be flat by, but none of the foul words.
Right.
That need to be bleak.
Okay.
And it was my marketing strategy.
Right. Yeah, bro, because now that you're saying it, I'm like, damn, you're right. You know what I mean? That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of my favorite songs that you did with Blackberry Bush is the 206-4321, bro. That's nice. That's actually on my personal playlist. So.
Oh, wow. That's filthy. Yeah, Jaguar James, Jay Supo came up with that idea.
Okay. Yeah, that's dope, bro.
Him and Beezy were in the studio one day. You know, they be having these talks. And one of Supo's favorite type of conversations is posse cuts.
Okay.
He be talking about all the posse cuts, like the grand finale that's on DOC's album.
Right.
The symphony, 4-3-2-1. Like, he was just bringing up all these posse cuts. We was like, I was like, 4-3-2-1? That's one of my favorites.
Right.
You know, Eric Sermon on the beat, and you got Redman, Method Man, Cannabis, LL, and come on, man.
Yeah, and also, if you know anything about hip-hop history, that's where Cannabis and LL kind of got into it over that song.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so.
Unintentionally, Cannabis wasn't dissing him.
I know, man, but you know.
LL and his cocky ass just took it the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah, Cannabis will eat him up, though. I love LL, but Cannabis is on another level. You know what I mean?
Look, Cannabis's first line in that song is better than LL's whole verse.
Damn.
He said, I'm the illest nigga alive. Watch me prove it. I'll snatch your crown with your head still attached to it. Yeah. Cannabis is the type to fight for mics, beat niggas to death and beat dead niggas to life. Who's fucking with that?
Yeah,
that's a bar.
Yeah, that's on another level for sure. So,
I quoted Cannabis on the end of my verse on that on our version.
Oh, did you?
At the end of my verse, I said, "This hip hop music, I got to do it. I'm the illest nigga alive. Watch me prove it."
Oh, yeah, you did say that. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, I took a bar from Cannabis because his verse was my favorite verse in that song.
Yeah. Yeah, you paid homage.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
Yeah.
I gave it up.
Yeah, yeah. All right, man. So I told you I had another story to tell. So here we go.
Tell it.
All right. So this is at the Royal Room. You did the Tribe Called Quest tribute, right?
Okay.
And yeah, I was front and center. And bro, like, so let me explain the concept to my listeners. So what it was is you guys had a band and you played songs by Q-Tip and Tribe Called Quest. And so instead of like playing a record, you guys played it live, right?
Right.
Okay. Now I got to ask this question. Did you memorize those lyrics or did you like have them written down somewhere? Because like you was on point, bro.
Man, I am a Tribe Called Quest fan.
Okay.
So I took at least about a month of listening to those songs every day.
Oh, okay.
Some of them I knew, but I would go back and just listen to them and get each word and the phrasing and making sure everything was on point by showtime. But yeah, a lot of that, man, all that stuff was all muscle memory.
Okay. And bro, and then people don't realize you put on a show, bro. Like, you know, you're not just sitting up there, but you put on a show, you get in the crowd. I think you did a freestyle. Man, that was dope. Yeah. That was one of the best local show. I don't even want to say local, man. I don't even want to put local on it. It was just a good show, period. You know what I mean? I like when bands do stuff. And whenever I'm not DJing, man, I try to support you guys' tribute as much as possible. But the only one I've been to was the Tribe one so far. So
man, you missed the LL one. That's the one where I kind of put my foot in.
Oh man. But I heard the Dre one was nice too, though.
The Dr. Dre one was, I forgot about that. Yeah, that Dre one was special.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because, I be asking around, bro, because, like I said, man, besides me performing and besides me being a DJ, I also like to support people, but I like to have a good time, too, while I support people.
Sure.
And that was a good time, man. It was nice atmosphere. Everybody was having a good time. No bullshit jumping off. Yeah, man, I like that.
Yeah, man. Shout out to the Royal Room for just letting us bring that energy in there because, that's not what that establishment is known for.
Right.
And, they gave the green light to Tish. Tish calls me because she knows, I can orchestrate stuff like that. I put together the set list, find some of the players, arrange, put this everything together. And then she just goes and, she works her magic and we all get together. We rehearse a few times and showtime comes and here we go.
Yeah.
I try my best to get into the character of who I'm paying homage to.
Okay. Like I said, man, dope ass show.
Thank you.
Yep. How can people find you on social media?
Man, just type in ROC space PHIZZLE on all platforms. You can find me one way or another. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Threads, Facebook. What else is out there? I'm not on TikTok. I don't do TikTok. That's annoying to me. I'm not on Snapchat. That's annoying to me too.
Right.
That's for the that's for the youngsters. Yeah. But Instagram, Threads, Facebook. What else is there? That's pretty much the basics, right?
Right. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So.
Oh, bro! God damn it! I forgot to ask you this question. We talking. I totally forgot. Who have you produced for? Like, give me some people that you made records for.
Here or all? I mean, or people that have been in the industry.
Both local and both? Industry. Yeah.
Especially here, I've worked with everybody from Slug's whole crew. Him. His brother, him, and then Tax and Reno, his Uncle Fresh, Gangsta Nut, 151, Twin G, my cousin. I don't know if you remember, he used to go by Ice Cold, then he changed his name to Magnetic, Morpheus Magnetic, and then his brother, Ron New. Who else have I worked with? I'm trying. You're going to laugh when I say this. DZ.
Okay. Hey, listen.
Cool.
Listen, man. I got to get DZ on here, man, because I listened to his last couple of albums, and I ain't going to lie, man. They're nice. He gets a bad rap. You know what I mean? But
yeah, you got to listen to his first when he was more West Coast
right.
based. Now I think he's on some other shit. Now, I ain't listened to his music lately, but I produced a lot of stuff on his first couple albums. So.
Okay.
Who else here? I'm getting to the good stuff. I'm trying to, we'll take care of home first.
Okay.
Certified. They're a group out of Spokane.
Yeah, Certified Outfit. Yep.
Yeah, man. Those are my boys. Shout out to them. Trying to think, man. There's a lot of groups, man. I had to go look at my playlist, man, because Anonymous.
Okay.
There's a lot. And then as far as just people that are in the industry, I've worked with, I did some stuff with Messy Marv. I done some stuff with Juice, Corrupt, E-40, Daz, David Banner. Who else has been? The Outlaws, Wacko and Skip from Juvenile's crew.
Oh, yeah.
Carl Thomas, SIBO. Killer Tay. Did I say E-40 and Daz?
You did say E-40 and Daz.
Yeah, E-40 and Daz. I'm trying to think, man. The list is pretty long.
Shit, that's what you said so far is impressive, though.
I mean, there's more. I just can't think. Cause
right.
Shit, I just keep doing these little things, or whether it's a beat that I've done and they've been on, or they'll hear something and go, man, I need a hook. Like, I've done a lot of talk box hooks for people. My boy Max Sane out of Tacoma.
Yeah, I know him.
I've done some. Mr. GOG from Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
So many different people, man. If you're on Apple Music or Spotify or anything like that, I got a few playlists that I've constructed. Most of them are called, I think the one on Spotify is called Produced by Rock Fizzle. And that's just a whole bunch of joints from all the artists that I basically have worked with or done something on. They're all in one playlist. And yeah.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. I'm missing some. Black C, my boy Black C from RBL.
Okay, okay.
Be Legit. I've worked with Mac Maul.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all coming to me now. Yeah, man. It's a lot of cats, man. I'm just thankful that I've done what I've done.
Yeah, definitely, man. And like I said, you got a sound, man. It sounds good. It sounds crisp. You know what I mean? And on top of that, bro, man, you just a humble dude. Every time I see you, what's up, Peg? How you doing? You know what I mean? So, man.
Yeah, man. We all come up doing this, man. There ain't no animosity towards nobody, man.
Yeah. But I ran into some people, man, they Hollywood. You ain't Hollywood. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah,
I ran into some people.
I've seen Hollywood. Hollywood ain't what you think it is. And seeing it firsthand, I'm like, nah, be humble.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Some people get their nose in there and get egos and shit, and then it ruins their career, man. I just want to make music and make people happy doing it.
Yep, exactly. Well, bro, that's it, man. I appreciate you being on. I know it took us a minute to make it happen, but, bro, man, I love this interview, man. And like I said, and what's crazy is I got to know you better, bro, because I see you, but we never really sat down and chopped it up, man. So it was good to learn all this info about you.
Oh, man, I'm glad to share it. You know, like I said, you know, I'm an open book, man. You know, I can't take none of this with me if I was to ever leave this earth untimely, like a lot of my heroes have. So, you know, whenever people call or hit me and be like, man, I want to do an interview or a podcast with you, I mean, I'm all the way with the shit because I want to, you know, put my story out there for people to listen to or read or hear or what, you know, and feel it so they know where I'm coming from, where my energy is, you know, where it stems from.
Right. Well, shit, bro, that's it. Until next time, man, peace, bro.
All right, man, stay up. Hey.
Man, once again, thanks for listening to the Fresh Out the Northwest podcast. It's all about representing Northwest hip-hop culture. All episodes are available on Apple, Spotify, and major streaming platforms. I truly appreciate everyone that supports the podcast, and I'm going to keep hitting you with new episodes every week. Until next time, peace.